we, I believe, are still, we will finish. Grace, lesson 19, the third lesson on grace. I think we got through question 8, is that correct?
That's correct.
We are through 8, I believe, was the way. So we are on question 9, and this will be a tag teamer today. Hopefully, if we can get through the last couple questions, which I believe we can, very quickly, then Randy will start the next lesson. So, lesson 19, question 9. Is it possible to grasp grace in salvation and not grasp it in the Christian life?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Any dissenting votes? You always have a smile. You have the Cheshire Cat smile all the time, bro. Absolutely.
Just happy to hear you, Curtin.
Absolutely. Yeah, basically all of Galatians focuses on this. Paul warns of that in Galatians. If we look at Galatians 5, 1 through 4, we looked at this before. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are, and actually it means the relationship has been damaged or removed. Not removed, but you turn away from the Lord. You've been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So remember, who is he addressing?
Christians.
It's not the gross sinners, not all that. It's the people who want to mix a little bit of law with grace. So a lot of times I think of this too. You know, I think a lot of people fall into this. We understand salvation is by grace. Most people, you have been saved by
grace.
Okay, saved. So, salvation, we know, you come to that point where you know you can't bridge that gulf between God and yourself, and you realize that there has to be something. You realize Jesus came, paid for your sins, died for you. Okay, all the salvation message. We understand that, and that's all by grace. But how many of us then go, okay, now we're kind of on our own. Now God has at least empowered us to, in our old man, to be able to keep the law now. You know, who we're now able to be a Christian, a good Christian. Isn't that how we do that a lot? Or we feel a lot of times, I think,
Romans
7, exactly. But I think there's a point where you understand it's by grace, but suddenly you're on your own now.
That's right.
Yeah. But isn't that what 99% of all churches teach?
I don't think they understand the grace message. You okay, Bill? We good? Okay. I think a lot of people, they don't teach, or let me step back. I think they don't understand the identification part or a co-crucifixion. When you look at the number of programs out there, and the different things, you know, again, the purpose-driven life, you know, all these different things. I think I went through J.I. Packer, Knowing God. There's a bunch of these programs out there. The Prayer of Jabez was popular. All these different things that are popular. They're always trying to help you, the sinner, get better. And they don't understand the basic understanding of identification. So they're always going, I'm going to get to you, Holly. I don't think they understand that basic concept. And that's why I say, I think the biggest problem we have is that people don't understand Romans 6. They don't understand that co-crucifixion, that our old man was positionally, judicially taken away. That God, we are now placed, remember how many times I said the in hymns? We went through that in hymns, how many times we've been placed into him. God now sees us in Christ. So, I think a lot of people just don't understand that, so they're always trying to help you, the old man, get better. Will that ever work? Never. God is done with you. Why are you still trying to fix up the old man? So I think there's a lot of that issue based on the identification truths. And you know, I'm a product of that. I mean, brethren for 20 years, and, you know, we were into the scriptures, but you just didn't get that identification. The funny thing is, a lot of identification truths came out of the brethren.
And so there's always a program, and I always wondered why, you know, if a program is so good, why does it kind of fade out? If that's the answer, why does that program fade out? And we have to have another program. Mm-hmm. And then there's another program. If it's the answer, why are there always more programs? Yeah, okay, now Holly.
I'm going to take issue with that.
Oh, good.
I'm going to say that I think that we don't realize that now in Christian living, it's all the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's enough emphasis on listening for the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit direct your life so that you're walking in the Spirit, depending on the Spirit, so that you don't walk in the flesh and trying to live by the law and all those things.
I think you're right, but I think there's a first step.
And well, we've heard the first step a whole lot, but I think now it's like dropping off because there's not emphasis of Christ's Spirit in us for living, to listen to that, to let that guide us so that we don't go in our own direction.
And I agree. And actually, the end of our, but we're not going to get to it, which I think is going to be the next elective, is on the Holy Spirit. That'll be our next elective.
Well, how can you separate, put like the Holy Spirit in its own little thing? It's like grace and the Holy Spirit should be together always, always, always in everything.
Yeah, but this is progressive. You've got to understand. That's why I say you've got to understand identification.
I don't think it's progressive. I think as soon as you believe that Christ died for your sins, you get the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and we do. And actually, in a lot of times, we go, it's not only the Holy Spirit. There are lots of things that happen to you. That's the Schaefer's 33 or the 600 or the 213 different things that
immediately
change.
Yeah, but the only way to get them is through the Holy Spirit.
Well, the Holy Spirit's a component, but there are a lot of other things, like your inheritance.
Right, I mean, but the only way to live that is through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, and I totally agree, it's the Holy Spirit that does this. And is the one who convicts and convinces and all that, yes. But the identification's got to come first. You've got to understand that. Because if you don't, you're totally off base to begin with.
Yes,
And so that's what this class is, identification. We're trying to get you to that point where you understand it. Now, the second phase is grace, which is just understanding the operating system, which is the component is the Holy Spirit. But we've got to show you what the system is. And part of that is the Holy Spirit, and we totally agree. Part of our was you've got to understand what grace is too, because you can't understand how the Holy Spirit operates in that system until you understand the system.
Right.
So we're walking through it. You're getting ahead of us. I understand your frustration because they both go together, because you have to have one of the things we'll go through in the Holy Spirit is how much you're trying to do it and how much it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility.
Right.
And that's very true. It's like in marriage, in the Ephesians.
I would say it's tough to learn grace without the Holy Spirit. I would think
we will get in
identification without the Holy Spirit. It was only through the Holy Spirit that we were saved in the first place.
Exactly. Saved by grace.
It's all so interwoven.
Well, that's the thing, is it's interwoven.
Yeah.
So you cannot. What we're trying to do in the Sunday school class is to systematically go through the different doctrines and draw out the relationships. But you can't cover all of it at once because it's too much.
And I'll flip it around to you. If you went to the Holy Spirit and explained that and try to say how the Holy Spirit works in grace, and you don't understand what grace is, you can't understand how the Holy Spirit works, because
don't have to understand how the Holy Spirit works.
Yes, you do. I think you do.
The Holy Spirit's going to work whether or not we understand it.
And we're going to be in grace whether we understand it or not.
Yeah.
But what we're going through is that Paul is trying to tell us that we have to be taught grace. Remember one part of, you may have missed that one.
We have
to be taught grace.
Right.
So that's what we're going through now is the grace. totally interwoven through that is the Holy Spirit having that's, and we'll get to that. Like I said, we were trying to, but I don't think with our schedule we're going to do it. Our next elective will be that. Yeah. And once we get into that, you'll understand how the Holy Spirit is able to function because of identification, because of grace. Then you understand how the Holy Spirit will go into a lot of that. You know, I was going to say in Ephesians, when it tells me how to be a husband, you know, there, if you look at the requirements of what a husband's responsibility is, I come to the realization that I cannot do that.
Right. And the Holy Spirit's going to do it for you.
I've got to rely upon the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit's going to let you understand Ephesians.
Yeah, right. And not only understand it, but also
live it out.
Live it out.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we're getting there. We're getting there.
I'm getting a little more patient. Because I'm not hearing Holy Spirit enough.
Well, we will get there. But like I said, I don't think you can understand how the Holy Spirit functions unless you understand how grace functions. Because, that, you know, the component of how we work in grace is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But if you don't understand, I think it's a key thing that we have to understand what grace is first, before we understand how this the Holy Spirit operates in grace.
The reason I made that earlier statement is I was raised in organized religion and had 16 years of intense indoctrination, but I walked away from all of that, and then when I was eventually saved, I made a point of going to a non-denominational Bible-teaching church, and I remember asking the pastor soon after I was saved, well, what do I do now? Yeah, I was so used to getting myself cleaned up. And he says, well, start memorizing. You've got to read the Bible and memorize verses. And I thought, oh, man, this is just not it.
You know, and I'll counter some of the stuff, Holly, too. You know, there are people who overemphasize what the Holy Spirit, without knowing how it operates in grace. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And wrongly assess how the Holy Spirit operates. Yeah. So I think we logically go through this. So it's the proper operation and function of the Holy Spirit, because there are some that don't understand and misteach what the Holy Spirit does.
I was only going to make the comment that it's difficult to teach everything at once, because I was a chemistry teacher for 42 years. If I tried to hit the students with the whole ball of wax at the start, it wouldn't have worked, because it's too much at one time. So even though they're closely interwoven, you almost have to take one thing at a time in order to have some continuity. Otherwise, you're sort of going back and forth on it. But I totally agree with you. The Holy Spirit needs to be there in our mind as well.
And like I said, you'll understand. I think it's just you'll understand how the Holy Spirit operates much a better way than as we walk through this than to try and throw it in. We talk about the Holy Spirit, and it's that it's one who convicts and convinces, you know. And so we'll do that, but we'll get a lot more specific on the Holy Spirit as we move into that. But it'll make more sense how the Holy Spirit is able to operate, because we know about grace, we know about identification. So we do it this way, because you'll understand how it operates more. If you started with the Holy Spirit and emphasized that, what do you mean? Well, if you don't understand grace, how does this Holy Spirit work? Is he just is he making the old man better? Is he, because a lot of people misappropriate that and say that the old man now is now empowered to keep the law. The old man now is, the Holy Spirit is now indwelling in me, and now I, in my flesh, am able to. And if you don't understand that, that's what I say, there's misappropriation. If you don't understand the identification, you can go off track on what the Holy Spirit is. So, yeah.
Isn't it also the Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Christ? So while it's not wrong or bad to understand how the Holy Spirit works,
right,
I think some denominations put so much focus on the Holy Spirit when
exactly.
His job is to point you to Christ.
Right.
I mean, yes, they're all in the Trinity, but they each have
their function.
Right.
Right.
So
exactly, and that's what I'm saying. Some misappropriate what the Holy Spirit's function is.
Well, you know, I don't mean to sound too harsh, but I really kind of don't care what other places are doing. Or I don't care what other, the wrong way. I don't want to know, like, what what the wrong way is or
right.
misunderstanding. I just always want to know.
Right, and that's why I don't get into a lot about what other churches are doing. I try yeah. not to do that. I respond to questions, but if you know mine, I'm not pointing at other people because I've been there.
Yeah.
So I don't point at other people other than point at myself and say how I was off, you know, off in left field. So I try to get away from that. I don't, but I want to say what I think our best way to walk you through to understand identification, grace, and the Holy Spirit. I think those are key issues. And I think we walk it through so you understand all of them. And as you walk through it, you can see how they all interweave. So.
Okay. All right. That was my hassle for the morning.
Is that the only one, or do I have to prepare for more?
I don't know. I think that's
no,
it.
Holly, I appreciate all you know, it's good discussion. And never hold back with questions. Mm-hmm. Anybody. It, you know, that's why we have this type of class, actually. Because if one person's asking, that's probably another two or three that maybe have the same questions. So basically, in the verses we were talking about, he was warning about in Galatians 5:1, back going back to a legal system where you know you mix a little bit of law with grace, and that's not appropriate. You can't mix the two. And Paul goes through in Galatians very detailed about law and grace, and what the consequence of that. You've fallen from grace. You've impacted your relationship with Christ because of that. If Christ will be of no benefit to you, all these different things. He's very, and that goes back to our last question about being how harsh that was about, you know, the person who wants to put you under legal system is very, it's a harsh statement, but you want to stay away from those people as much as you can. Okay? So what are those snares today look like? You know, he was saying about circumcision. What are the snares today about putting you back under law? What types of things?
I'll be tithing.
Tithing? What else?
Coming here on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that is.
Could be anything. Could be reading the Bible.
I was going to go back. What did you see? Memorize. You have to memorize.
Right.
What? You know, where does it say? You know, so there are a whole bunch of things. Feeling guilty about doing... You know, I miss the work day. God's going to spank me for that. You know? I mean, think of all these things that you think of, you know, with Helen, the woman she helped hurt herself, but it's well, if I don't do that, God's going to not smile on me. God's going to feel a little bit less of me.
You know, I think it's even for myself, I would say it's not that I want God to smile on me, but it's kind of like I want to show God how grateful I am, even though even that's impossible. Yeah. Like to kind of pay back, like, you know, thank you, God, for doing that, and what I'm going to do is be a good person.
So you're making God a debtor, right?
Yeah.
Dealing and wheeling.
Yeah. You're making God a debtor.
Yeah.
Absolutely the wrong.
Right.
And wrong. When you make God a debtor, you know, that
right.
we owe,
I'll pay you back somehow.
I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
You know, then you know, at that point when you do that, that's the old man. Because the old man is under the law of the flesh, the cause and effect.
Right.
If I do this, I'll, you know, get this. If, you know, that type of system. So that's what, like I said, when the motive comes out, when you look at the motive of why you're doing it, and I've fallen prey to this, where you know, I think I told you 100 times about, you know, the old building I met, that I helped build. You know, I never wanted public any recognition from that. But in my heart of hearts, I'm like, Lord,
where's my plaque?
I never wanted a plaque. I did get a plaque, and I just absolutely embarrassed myself because they said I did not want that, and I kind of shouted at the person because I didn't want it, and I felt kind of bad about that. They were being very nice, but in my heart of hearts was, God, aren't you smiling on me a little better because I did this? You know, not any public recognition, but my recognition within my own heart. I realized that, you know, God, aren't you just a little happier because I did this? And totally the wrong motive. Totally. It should be acting out, and that's why our understanding of identification, we've been placed into Him. This should be just like breathing. We do it because. It's because of who we are. Not because of a reward, not
so
because
of... So this is where you put in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I mean, really, it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Anything, enabling even us to do. It should be... we shouldn't do that is a law. Yep. We shouldn't do it for reward.
It's a principle.
It's a principle, exactly. It's not a law.
I'm saying, like, we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, but that's...
Thou shall not...
No, it's a principle.
God.
It's a principle. It's not saying thou shalt not. It's a principle. It's an operating principle. It's we shouldn't be doing these things. It's an operating principle. Just like grace is an operating system. We're going to get into that a lot more about how we operate now under grace. In fact, the last question, we'll get to that. One more.
I know this is outside of what we're discussing, but...
Well, then we can't discuss it.
When you mentioned Galatians 5:1, I looked at it, and I also looked at, and this has kind of puzzled me a bit through the years, Galatians 5:2 says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, did I do my sons a disservice when they were born and on the eighth day I had them circumcised?
No.
That wasn't under the law.
No.
No, yeah.
I don't think, if you're doing it,
No, I'm not
Jews. I'm not Jews. We're not,
No.
No, that's not.
Right.
You're not doing it as part of the law.
No.
Right.
No.
So that's a whole different issue.
Okay.
It's not covered.
You asked what traps there were in it. A lot of them come back to pride. I like to feel good about it, and I like my neighbors to think I'm a good Christian and don't have as many dandelions in my lawn as anybody else in my lawn.
A bad Christian.
So,
yeah, right.
You already said the operative word in the middle of that. I.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me.
You know, putting the focus on you,
yeah.
it immediately, at least in my operating, is when I start saying about I. Who's the focus?
Mm-hmm. You.
The focus should be on Christ.
Choir warming up. Me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to do anything, you just do it from the heart and not because of appeasement.
Right. I go back to this a lot, is you just do it because that's who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
You don't even think about
right.
whether it's this or that or this or that. It's because it's just because who you are. I just go back to Christ. Christ didn't wake up every day and get in a laundry list on the lentil, as I said last week, that thou shalt do these five things to do the Father's will today. He did it because it was who he was. Yeah, he is, and we're placed into him. So we do this, and that's where again I go back. It all fits if we do it. Just because who we are, do we have rest? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we have peace? Absolutely. Because it's just who we are.
It makes you feel good.
That's a side. That's a reward.
Sometimes it does.
That's not why we do it. If the Lord blesses you, great. There are times where it's going to be challenging.
That's right.
And.
Could you say there's always peace in it, though?
To me.
Yeah.
And that's why I go back to the James. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy? What? Well, if you know any trial, and if you know the sovereignty of God, God's in control of all the circumstances and all these things, if you also know that we can never be separated from his love, so whatever trials you're going through, Paul speaks of the child training, the chastening or child training. The child training, these trials are meant to what? Beat the snot out of you?
No.
Do you think God was mad and took a stick and beat you up because you were not, you
set my oven on fire?
You set your oven on fire, you burned your, complex down. No.
Conform us to the image of Christ.
It is, and it's all done out of love. And so when you go through a trial, if you know that's a trial given to you by God, in love, to what? Draw you to him and to conform you.
Right.
Can I consider that all joy? Absolutely. You can go through trials now with the peace, the rest, because if you know the trial is given by God, in love, you can go through it. You understand it. It's not God with a big stick at you.
But at times it certainly doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't, but you can go through it. I go through the peaks and the valleys before this. You know, I'm, you know, all state in sports, and then I'm, you know, this, my parents get divorced, or, you know, this or that, and it was koosh, koosh, you know, either one extreme or the other. I'm a lot more on the level now, because when I go through a trial, I understand it's from God. When I get a blessing, I know it's from God. It's the same God, same love, same person acting on me.
And it's for the same purpose. It's for your conformity to His image, and it's being used. It's not useless.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Paul and the thorn.
He prayed three times, but, you know.
He was happy at the end that he had it.
Yeah. And it was in my weakness. In my weakness, you know, and he goes through all that. So, you know, I think you can go through these trials now, understanding that if you're in control, I mean, if he's in control, if he's in control of our circumstances, what I wanted to say, then it's very easy to go through it. You can have that understanding because God is in control. And if he's taking it through trial, I mean, if your apartment burned down, would God, miss that? He would do it for a purpose.
You know, and also, too, just within that, it was an opportunity for me, and I'm not very surprisingly vocal about my new faith, but it was a, like some of my neighbors came by and said, somebody's looking out for you, and what a, you know, great chance for me to say, like, yeah, I know. And, you know, just kind of even for the neighbors to realize that, you know, I wasn't going to go, like, you know, woo, poor me, oh my God.
See, I mean, that's it. I didn't want to say it because I didn't know. But, I mean, it's similar, you know, my little.
Yeah.
I mean, people, they ask, well, you know, it's okay. Well, and they know something's different about you.
Yeah.
And that's what I think God uses. He, you know, in that circumstance, he brought maybe one person out of that. He did all that to bring you in contact with one
mm-hmm.
person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always say, when something like that happens, I'm looking this way. But God's looking both ways, to work on you and to work on somebody else. I mean, I always just look, God's in control. There's a reason and a purpose for it. And if it's in love, He's drawing me to Himself.
But you know, okay. I have to tell you, this is so funny. Because when I had a very bad lung disease, which I still have, and but I got better, and I wanted to always go to Israel, and Bruce said, I'll do whatever you want. And I said, okay, so we did go, and he was a Catholic. And it made him change and became a Christian that whole trip. So isn't it wonderful that I have that?
Well, he uses all sorts of circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's what I say, when you look at it, we look at it from a very myopic point of view a lot of times.
Spiritual myopia.
And like I said, if you understand that God's in control of all these circumstances,
yeah,
that he's doing it for his purposes. And what are his purposes? To draw you to him, to conform you to him. So in ups and downs, you understand he's still in control. My ism is, God never says, oops. Oop, missed that. Never. So if you understand that principle,
we get surprised, but he doesn't.
That's what I'm saying. We don't. But if you, in the surprise, you understand he's still in control.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I freaked my mother-in-law out. You know, my accident. You know, you could have lost your hand. Yeah. Would that have been any different? You know, would I have thought the Lord missed that? You know, that he was in control, that he only got me the 82 stitches. But if I would have lost my hand, oh. Well, I said, it doesn't matter. It would have been the same. Had I been either way, it doesn't matter. He's in control, and he's using it for his purposes. It doesn't matter. And when you put it in that perspective, no matter what happens, that gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding. That you can go through anything and understand that if he's in control, it's for his glory. And what? For you to be dependent upon him, and for you to draw closer in that relationship to him. And when you do, you get conformed to his image through the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'm so sorry.
We'll get to the last few questions. I think I can blow through them real fast. Randy, you might at least get to the intro of yours. So, what about these verses that say, "If you will obey, then I will bless you"? How does that square with grace?
That's Old Testament. That's under law.
We have commandments. There are commandments in the New Testament.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
There are several of them. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Is it kind of like, if you will obey me, meaning that when or you do obey me, you want to obey me, and then I'll continue to bless you with your blessing being more conformed to Christ's image would be the blessing.
Maybe. So there's a cause and effect? If you do this?
No, it's not like if. It's kind of like when, you know.
Okay. Other thoughts?
What is your answer to that?
I want to hear yours first.
Well, it's an order. You shouldn't. I thought that, well, in a way it is.
Husbands, love your wife. Wives, be subject to your husbands.
If, in fact, it's a principle that he's stating here, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in advance, and he's just saying if you want to fall out of grace, you may operate on a different manner.
Fall out of the grace system, and I like that. Also, that you lose the intimacy as we don't operate under these. You know, husbands, love your wife to Christ, love the church. Wives, be submissive. Be under the teaching of your husband. So, if you don't do that, what happens?
You're out of rest. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's... what I'm saying is basically you lose that fellowship. The first John 1:9, confessing that's not who I am, that's not what I'm doing. You're confessing, you're agreeing with God, you're not doing as you say who I am, I'm not acting in the way you've told me I am. So it's basically a system of principles, not like the Old Testament of commands. Do this and get this. Do this, avoid this. Blessings and curses and this quid pro quo. You know, if you do this, I get this. Under grace, it's now principles. These commandments are logical imperatives, what they call them. It means if you do this, wives, be subject or under the teaching of your husband, you will have a wonderful wife or wonderful relationship, and you will glorify God. The intimacy that you have will be brought closer because you're doing who you are in Christ through the Holy Spirit. I do want to keep saying that.
And also, Vern said, obey is to listen and put yourself under. So obeying necessarily isn't the doing.
Right.
If I do this, it's like I'm just always going to be listening and putting myself under the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's the principle, and that's how we enact these is through the Spirit, yes. But it's the principle. It's not a commandment. It's a principle.
Yeah.
And that's
how
really
it will be.
And And so one of the things I want to.
But in your heart, you want to. You want to do things that. Well, you just do it naturally. You please God because you love Him and it makes you. You give Him the glory.
Naturally is in Christ, not your natural man, not in Adam.
Right.
Let me see if I'm going to have enough of these.
You didn't punch a hole in it.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I forgot about that part of it. I need one. Actually, I can go on. I have one on the computer. You know what? I should have done this. I should have handed it out after. I was going to say, this is how we get through this. Is this how we obey, how we do these. Through the Holy Spirit enacting it. Again, it is through the Holy Spirit doing this. But where does it start? If you look at this circle, it starts with God's grace, His love for us. That's where it all begins.
Right.
And so if you look, I'll read these. 1 John 4:7-9. Beloved, Let us love one another for what? Love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so we might live through him. So, that's where it starts. God is love. Now, what happens because of that love? We move on. The result of God's grace or his love is we respond. Because of his love is poured out on us, what happens? 1 John 4:19. We love because what? He first loved us.
Okay? His son is a ransom for our sins.
So God is love. We love. Why? Because he first loved us. So, if God starts, he's love, we move, we love him because he first loved us. Well, what does that result in? John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So, we respond to these commandments, these logical imperatives, these principles, because he loved us. We love him. If we do that, these principles are not a burden. The Holy Spirit working through us and enables us to do this.
But did he love us first, even though our world is disastrous?
Yep.
Did he love all those people first, even though they should be slapped left and right?
Yes.
Did he die just for the good people?
Well, that's
and who are the good people? Name one.
We're going to get very specifically into that.
Romans 3 and up.
So he loves not the one whole world, even though, for instance, Muslims have a different God.
Did he die for their sins?
Well, it's the same God, huh?
Did he die for their sins?
Well, I guess...
Huh?
It's
come on.
Pathetic.
Come on. You can do it.
Pathetic.
You can say it.
I guess. Yeah.
You guess or you know?
Well, yeah, he does.
He did.
He did.
He died for every past, present, and future sins. Every sin. Muslims, Hitler, name the mass murderers, you know, John Holmes and all these people. Did he die for their sins? Absolutely. Yeah. Every one of them. And if we paint the picture that we're so much better than whoever, are we, so we're rate of sin, you know? Is that what we do? We're a little better than, you know, our sins weren't quite as bad as that guy.
That's interesting. You know, that kind of separates the sin from people. It's nice to think of it that way when you think of not like, when you think of everybody, he didn't take care of like, certain types of sin, like Hitler's sin or Muslim sin or all my sin, he took care of sin outside of people.
Blood was for all sins.
Yeah.
All
sin.
The payment of sins, sins, plural, is through the blood. The death, the sin nature.
Yeah.
Because if he just paid for the sins, again, we go through this, if he just paid for the sins, is that enough?
Nope.
Why?
We have to die.
Why?
Because it's the principle, it's not I, but in him.
But why do we have to die?
Because we have a sinful nature and we need to be separated from it.
We have to be separated. If we pay, if only the blood paid for all those sins, sins, plural, every sin, past, present, future, of every person, that's what the blood covered. Is that good enough? No. Because what happens the next day? I'm still sinning. That's the principle of identification. We have to get in place. The Romans 6, we had to be separated from that old nature. Otherwise, we're just sinners. Now, can we step into eternity as sinners?
No.
No, you can't. God can't be in the presence of the sinner. So we have to be separated from that. That is the Romans 6 principle.
Okay, but God loves as I'm screaming at the TV, God loves that person?
He does. Yeah, you as a human don't, but he does.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I should?
I look at I sure. See, yeah, you should. Better. You should.
You don't have to love what that person does.
Right.
But you love their soul.
And it's not a feeling of love, right? It's just this is the world, yeah. Not the world. God created that person.
Right.
Back to a nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Opposed to the feeling.
Exactly.
We live in the flesh, we live in the feeling so much.
Yeah.
That the feeling of love or the feeling of hate or the feeling of pride and accomplishment, and that drives us so much because that's what the world looks at and that's what the world feeds on, and we're in this world but not of the world. And it's awfully hard to keep reminding yourself that you have an identification in Christ that gets you out of that.
We've got to be pulled out of that because otherwise, you know, the thing is what you look at is fairness. You know, those are nasty, nasty people. God smacked them, but I'm pretty good. I'm not as bad as they are.
Comparatively speaking.
You know, and God looks at it and if sin. Whatever you know, I look in the mirror and by the grace of God, I'm not a Adolf Hitler. But we're the same as far as sin. We're both sinners. And so you have to get out of that fairness doctrine. God looked and paid by the blood, paid for all sins, all times, all people, past, present, and future. The only question remains at this point is, who is Christ? That's the only question that's left right now by every human being on this planet. That's the only question that's left. The sins have been paid for. Now, if you believe and you are co-crucified, you are separated from him, from your old nature, judicially separated, positionally separated, and now placed into him, into Christ. So that's the only question that remains right now to every human being on the planet, whether they're Gaddafi or, you know, Ahmadinejad or whoever.
Even Romney.
Yes.
You will eventually get into the relationship or who is Christ, because I have some people who cannot connect Christ as a son of God. They find it very difficult.
There's only one question.
Get into that.
It's only one question that remains on this planet is who is Christ,
right?
And whether you believe he's the Son of God who died,
right,
buried, resurrected.
Yeah.
That's the only question that every human being has.
Right.
Whether you're going to be remain when you die in your Adamic nature, and with that, if you die, then what? You're separated from God.
Right.
Okay? The only question that remains is who is Christ?
Right.
It's the only question that remains. So, you know, that's where we get into all these fairness and who and that. Remember, the blood paid for everybody's sin.
That's right.
Past, present, and future. He died so he could take care of the sin nature. So the blood and the body. Blood paid for all sins, all time. The crucifixion was taking us out of Adam and putting us into him. Yeah. Key thing.
And it's not like Hitler and everybody else was like a surprise to God. That's part of God's plan, and God's using that for whatever God's using that for. And
exactly. You know, political, whether we have an election coming up, and who he chooses is who he chooses.
Right. He already knows who
he
won.
He knows who won.
Yeah.
You know, I have my thoughts and vote and that, but if he answers a different way, am I to go, God, you missed it. Don't you know how that guy is? Don't you?
But
oh,
you
wait
say
a minute.
To yourself, how could he died for this miserable SOB?
You know what? I say that about myself.
Yeah.
He died. I look in the mirror, and that's all I have to look at is he died for me. What an what a despicable character I was. I just have to look in the mirror. I don't look at anybody else. I look in the mirror and he saved me.
Nobody comes to the table with anything to offer God.
That's what we looked at those verses, in Romans. We come to the table with what? Death. Dead. That's our offering. We come for nothing else but a sinful, dead, nasty sinner. That's our bargaining chip. Wow. I mean, that's what I say. When you understand what saved by grace means, mm-hmm. We came to the table with death, sin, nasty, and all that, and God, by His grace, saved us. And now we operate in this system of grace. Incredible. Incredible. Yeah.
Just for the, for the tape.
Now I'm looking for the tape.
No, God wouldn't... He didn't like have Hitler do what he did. It wasn't his plan to make him do that, obviously.
He allowed him, yeah. Right. And that's what I say, and people say, Satan's attacking me. Mm-hmm. What is your response?
No kidding? I don't know.
What is your response when somebody says, man, Satan is just attacking me?
Turn to Christ.
If he is, God's letting him do it.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
It is.
But isn't it to teach you?
Can you be separated from His love?
No.
Right. So if He and let's put it this way. I always tell people, too. If Satan's attacking you, it's a special day. Because Satan is not omnipresent. So if it's your day to have Satan attack you, you're pretty high up on the list here. Because he's not omnipresent. So his minions and others, fallen angels and all that. But like I said, if it's Satan, you got a special day, because that's the God has allowed Satan to work on you. Like Job, to sift him.
The whole book of Job is about patience. It's about God eventually saying, "Where were you when I created the world?"
See, that's my favorite.
The foundations of the earth, and Job coming around to realizing, "Okay, God, you are sovereign. You are in charge." It's not all about this justice system and equal opportunity and all the other...
That's what I go back to Job a lot because of that. If you think you're so special and have a great plan, start looking at Job and the responses by God, So where were you when I created all this? And where were you and what were your thoughts about this? Where were you? He puts it in perspective. God, I am so thankful is the one in charge, not me. Because otherwise, would we have come up with salvation through grace? Would we have done any of this? No.
Yeah, little Courtney figurine.
why does God reward us? Last question.
Huh?
Why does God reward us? Last question.
I think in a lot of ways, just blessings and trials both are to draw us to Him. The purpose is to draw us, to conform us. And in blessings and in trials, it's both the same to me. Does His purpose ever change? It's what? To glorify Him and to conform us to His image. And so in blessings and in trials, it's both the same. Those are the purposes in blessings and in trials.
Okay.
Well,
you finished.
I
think. Randy, you were going to talk today?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably can't go on how far we get. It might be better to have a time schedule.
So.
Is that a rule?
We will start with Randy next week. We'll get him. And, it's awfully tough to get through these lessons just because there is a lot of information and a lot of new stuff. And to teach grace and what it means and... We're just beginning to start on grace right now, really, just the kind of the system and once we get into principles and how we operate under grace, there'll be a lot more things. We'll answer those about laws. We're walking you up through how we get into, we operate under grace and principles.
That's what you said in March.
Yes. Any other questions before we close?
Yeah. Well, you brought up the politics of God, choosing who needs to be governor and or in government leadership, and that's true. But the real challenge I think that we can talk about based on this morning's lesson is that when we go cast our vote, if we cast our vote, that we need to ask the Lord, are we casting our vote while we abide? Are we walking by the Spirit when we cast our vote? Because if you cast your vote and you're not walking in the Spirit, the problem is that you're not walking in the Spirit, not that you vote for whoever you vote for. That abiding is the fundamental principle that we need to walk away from.
You know, and whether we abide or not or whatever, the election is going to come out the way you want it. Romans 12 or 13.
I know, but on a personal, 13, on a personal 13, level, we look at it, and we're called to be abiding in that,
yeah,
at that point, and it's not about who wins. God's sovereign there, but we need to, at that, yeah, moment, be moved by moving.
Well, we should be doing that at everything, not, yeah, just for voting, you know. But, yeah, it's Romans 13. He's the one who sets up the government. Did you have a question? Oh, all right, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you again just for who you are. Father, we just thank you that you're in charge, that you're sovereignly in control of all these things. And Father, we rest in the fact that you love us with an infinite love. And Father, we just derive the peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that we rest in your love, no matter what the circumstances are, whether in trials or blessings. Father, you are drawing us to you, your Son, and Father, to be conformed into his image so we can, for an eternity, glorify you. Father, we just thank you again that we do have the Holy Spirit who convinces and convicts us, and Father, that we have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for all your plans. We thank you that you haven't left us alone. You've given us the Spirit, and you've given us your Word. And Father, we just, by faith, believe what you've said. And we thank you again for this time. We just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.